We see so much that reminds us that this place, this world, is not our home, our permanent dwelling place. We see nations bicker over trade. We see more deadly school shootings in the last week. North Carolina, Colorado. We see Little Rocket Man Kim Jong-un still firing off missiles this week. We see the opioid epidemic going still at full steam ahead. We see the measles coming back with vengeance in many cities around the nation. We see anti-Semitism on the rise. We see the wettest year here in the U.S. of A. ever recorded. We see Christians around the globe persecuted near genocide levels. You don't need me to tell you that there's lots and lots of bad news out there. So many Americans pull an ostrich and they bury their head in the sand. They don't want to see the ugly anymore. Yeah, we can turn off our televisions. We can completely ignore the news. But we still have front row seats to bad news in our lives. You see the divorce papers. You see the layoff notice. You see the horrible test results. You see the medication that you have to take. You see a loved one dealing with dementia or some other debilitating disease. You see a wayward child. You see homes ravaged and destroyed by suicide, abuse, addiction. You see more and more wrinkles and extra pounds. You see the body growing weaker and weaker. You see the freshly dug grave. Dear friends, bad news abounds in each of our lives. We see it. But it's not all we see. We also see John's Rev 7 vision of our future home, and this is gospelly good news for you and for me. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." What a vision John is given here in Rev 7, Revelation chapter 7. Remember where he has this vision. The island of Patmos. That's not Paradise Island, folks. He's not at Atlantis. Oh, no way. Not even close. There are no tiki bars and parties, no massage tables on the beaches, no coral reefs and snorkeling, no water slides and pools, just chains. See, Patmos was the Alcatraz of the ancient world. John sits in a dark, dungy prison cell, dying a slow death. He saw his apostolic comrades get crucified upside down, run through with spears, clubbed and stoned to death. He saw the Christian church harassed and hounded on all sides. He saw the congregations that he planted withering away, falling apart, coming undone, totally tanking. But the Lord Jesus is so gracious and merciful to him. The Lord Jesus gives him a glimpse of future glory. There is hope. John sees all the saints from all times and all places gathered around the crucified and risen Lamb, waving their palm branches in victory. Now we read this, we hear this, we see this Rev 7 vision, and most of us are probably thinking, Palm Sunday. Well, I mean, that's kind of a natural thought to have, right? We hear the word palm branches and we think Palm Sunday, because when Jesus pulled off a Palm Sunday, riding that donkey into Jerusalem a week before his death and resurrection, what were the people holding in their hands? Palm branches, waving them in victory. But this Rev 7 vision isn't so much about Palm Sunday as it is about the Feast of Booths. Pastor Aaron, what's the Feast of Booths? Thanks for asking. I would love to give you the answer, and I am right now. The Feast of Booths is a seven-day Jerusalem festival that God's people celebrated at the end of the harvest season. You can find it recorded in Leviticus chapter 23. And God's people, they observed the Feast of Booths in two unique ways. First, each day of the festival, the seven-day festival, God's people would parade around the altar, holding in their hands, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it, palm branches. Kind of sounds like Rev 7, eh? What a quinkadink. The second unique observance with the Feast of Booths is that the people, they put up these tents. They popped up tents around the sanctuary, and they camped out for 7 days. It reminded them of the 40-year wilderness wanderings and God's care of their forefathers and giving them water from the rock and manna from heaven. But also those tents reminded them that this place is not their permanent home. It's temporary. That God had waiting for them a permanent dwelling place above. And God's people knew that this feast, the Feast of Booths, would be an eternal feast. That they were actually doing a dry run for what they would be doing for all eternity. And it wouldn't be just the Jews that would be gathered around God's throne, making that joyful procession around the Lamb. It would also be the Gentiles. This is the promise that Zechariah let loose in Zechariah 14:16, then everyone who survives of all the nations that have come against Jerusalem shall go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Booths. What Zechariah promised, John sees in his Rev 7 vision. God's people are finally home, sweet home. No more pilgrimage in this wilderness world. No more tears. No more racism. No more violence. No more school shootings. No more cancer. No more depression. No more loneliness. No more addiction. No more sickness. No more suffering. No more death. All there is a whole new world. Literally. New heavens, new earth, new John, new you, new me. See, in this Rev 7 vision, John actually sees his future glorified, resurrected self. And he also sees you and me. Isn't that a comfort? God has written us into the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. We see where we will be at the end of all time. Walking around the throne where the crucified and risen Lamb sits. Singing praises to our God. Saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now, from our earthly perspective, this world is falling apart and the church is frail and dying. But from heaven's eternal perspective, everything is A-okay. And the church is not going into the danger zone, not by a long shot. Remember, dear friends, the promise that Jesus made, that never fail, Matthew 16 promise, this promise, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Victory is the Lord's. And nothing and no one can change that fact. The Lamb lives. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The Lamb sits on the throne even now, reigning and ruling. I mean, he is standing on the necks of our enemies, dear friends. Jesus has already won, and so has the church. So have you. So have I. And heaven can't contain its joy. There's no party like the heavenly party. Revelation 7, verses 11 and 12. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So that we don't miss ourselves in this Rev 7 vision, an elder, that is a saint who's already in paradise, living it up in the presence of Holy God, strikes up a conversation with John. Revelation 7, verses 13 and 14. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these, clothed in white robes? And from where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now John is so overwhelmed with this Rev 7 vision that he's speechless. He's got the cat got your tongue syndrome. That's why the elder asks the very question that's on John's mind. Who are these? And where have they come from? And the answer, dear friends, is so comforting for you and for me. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. Now, the great tribulation is the pain and the heartache and the loss and the persecution and the sickness and the depression and the loneliness and the sin and the death that we experience here in this world. It will not last. It can't last. After all, Jesus has already gone to the root cause of the great tribulation and rooted it out. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, sin has been decisively dealt with in the death of Jesus. It is finished. The blood of Jesus blots out your sin and mine. Our baptism tells us so. The Lamb of God has washed us in his blood, making us holy, giving us garments of salvation that are white as snow. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you. Worthy is me. We are not destined, dear friends, for destruction and everlasting death. We are those destined for resurrection and everlasting life. And today, Adeline Michelle gets to share in this unwavering, unbreakable, unshakable hope. Her baptism today is an eternal life game changer. She is signed and sealed for paradise. Her name now is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not a hair on her head shall ever, ever perish. With Adeline, we now march in hope towards glory, towards home. And we're going to get there. That's because the Lamb is also the Shepherd. Jesus is our good, good shepherd who guides each of us home, where we will dwell with him and one another for all eternity. Not only are we washed, we are fed and led. During the 40-year wilderness wanderings, God fed his people with water from the rock and manna from heaven, leading them all the way to the promised land. Well, we get so much more from our Lord than they ever could imagine. We get so much more. The Lord actually outdoes himself. See, Jesus, our good shepherd, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, sin, death, the grave, hell, the devil. Have no fear, little flock. Here our Lord Jesus serves up heaping portions of his body and his blood. The very body and the very blood that he laid down on Good Friday and took up again on Easter morning. Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you. Here is food for the sojourner, for you, for me. Here is food that will sustain us on this incredible journey home. Food that will preserve us in both body and soul to life everlasting. As you feast on Good Shepherd Jesus today, he speaks his John 10 promise into your ears. This promise: my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Follow Good Shepherd Jesus all the days of your life, and you will party hardy in the house of the Lord forever. We know where Good Shepherd Jesus' follow me leads. The Rev 7 vision tells us, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Here is a vision worth living for, and even dying for, if need be. After all, not even death can keep us from what we see in Revelation chapter 7. Good Shepherd Jesus, he won't let anything keep us from this Rev 7 vision. Nothing can snatch us from his nail-scarred hands. Good Shepherd Jesus carries little lamb you and little lamb me all the way home. Come soon, Lord Jesus.